is God's Word coming to you from Christ Family Ministry, the best place to be where love is king. It's one gospel, one faith, reaching one person at a time, and together we're filling the earth with the beautiful message of our Lord Jesus Christ, presenting every man mature in Him.
Today, under the topic Eternity in View, I want to talk about rapture and judgment. Someone said, why did I come to church today? This is a subject that's rarely talked about. You don't want to hear about rapture, you don't want to hear about judgment. But wouldn't you rather hear something that eventually will happen? Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Read a couple of scriptures. You'll be glad you came this morning. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you, amen, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. So the day has not come, amen. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Mercy translation. And regarding the question, friends, that has come up about what happens to those already dead and buried, we don't want you in the dark any longer. First off, you must not carry on over them like people who have nothing to look forward to, as if the grave were the last word. Verse 14. Since Jesus died and broke loose from the grave, God will most certainly bring back to life those who died in Christ, in Jesus. And then this, we can tell you with complete confidence. We have the Master's word on it. That when the Master comes again to get us, those of us who are still alive will not get a jump on the dead and leave them behind. In actual fact, they will be ahead of us. Verse 16 says, the Master himself will give the command. Archangel thunder, God's trumpet blast, he will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise. They'll go first. Then the rest of us, who are still alive at the time, will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Master. Verse 18, oh, we'll be walking on air. And then there'll be one huge family reunion with the Master. So reassure one another with these words. That means the message of rapture is a message of assurance. It's not a message to be terrified of. I'm still a boy of God, so I wouldn't say I've studied the whole Bible in and out. But in the course of my study, one of the things I've discovered that every time the Bible speaks of rapture, the problem we have sometimes is people read it and begin to put themselves in the place where God is not talking to them. So they have mixed feelings as to who is God talking to here. So you hear about the great tribulation, you are troubled. Meanwhile, you are not going to be here. So why are you so troubled about things that don't concern you? They are fighting in Afghanistan. You can't sleep in Nigeria. So you need to know who God is talking to. It's a message that brings assurance. This morning, as I was preparing to come to church and preparing to on what I was going to teach in my study, it just dawned on me. Why did Paul write the letter of Thessalonians, of course, to the Thessalonians? It's because the Thessalonians, are you me, were a young church filled with Gentiles, people who had renounced their gods, are you me? Some were Jews. And Paul was writing to encourage them because they were going through intense persecution. There's a series I watched recently. Somebody say you watch series. And like you, I do too. Amen. I watched a series, AD, After Death, Empires and Kingdoms. And it gave me an idea of the time. You see, the church, we are blessed now. What we have now should not be trivialized. People paid dearly for us to be where we are. And I saw how persecuted they were, how they were hunting them down like criminals and killing them. So listen, some of them in the course of persecution had lost their loved ones. So Paul was writing them the letter. To do what? To encourage them. To let them know that if you lost a loved one because of Christ, all hope is not lost. And you shouldn't go on mourning like you will not see that person again. The greatest loss is when you have a loved one who dies without Christ. But if someone loses his life in Christ Jesus, it's great gain. Then he begins to assure even the believers that, see, this whole Christian life here doesn't end here. There is something to look forward to. And we're going to have a reunion. What intrigues me about the letters of Paul, is somebody here, is the way the early apostles talk about rapture as though it's going to happen in their time. Imagine him writing and saying, and those of us who are still alive. That means there was a mindset. They were ever ready. They all slept, but they were alive, expectant. And that's how we should be today. I'm not here to dissect Bible prophecies to you. I'm not here to tell you whether rapture is going to happen in the year 2020. The Bible said that's not my business. Whether it's going to happen in the year 3048, that's not my business. But I am here to let you know that it can happen anytime. So we have to live our lives. Amen. Are you with me? In the consciousness of it and continue the things that we're teaching. Are we together? In John chapter 5, let's go there. Jesus spoke about an afterlife. Life doesn't just end here. I heard some people say, all this suffering, let me just die and rest. You don't just die and rest. Are you getting me? There is a life after this life. I know that there are lots of fear and uncertainty about life, about the afterlife. Too many questions, too many theories, too many speculations. But you need to ask the creator of life to tell you what happens after life. That's why the Bible is an authority in this regard. Are you with me? John chapter 5, let's hear what Jesus says in verse 28. In verse 28, Jesus said, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Dead men have ears. They will hear his voice. Guess what he says? And comfort those who have done good to the what? To the resurrection of life. And those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Amen. So there is a resurrection unto life. There's a resurrection unto condemnation. Every person is going to be resurrected. To be resurrected means when you close your eyes to this side of eternity, are you getting me? You will open it up to another world. And when you are opened up to that world, it's either unto greater life or unto what? Condemnation. And that word condemnation is a very bad word. It's a very bad word. I'm telling the truth. It means you are of no use. Good for nothing. That's why I wonder how somebody would think that after Jesus shed his blood for us, God will still condemn us. There is now, therefore, Romans 8:1. No condemnation. No condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. What do you do with condemned tire? Because it is what? Condemned. This is not a jam question. Amen. If they say, that this tire is a condemned tire. What do you do with it? You throw it away. It's of no use. It doesn't serve any purpose. Would you want to live a life on this earth that, listen to me, that when you resurrect, at least you resurrect onto something good. To resurrect onto something that is not usable. That's not your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is somebody alive with me? So Jesus actually tells us that there is life after death. There is another world after death. One of our pastors, his father passed on 2 days ago. And I was with him yesterday. No, his father passed on yesterday. I was with him before I traveled down. And I was just sharing with him and encouraging him. I know he's a strong man. You know, he was just hugging us and welcoming us. And he said something. He said, my father, the father's birthday was on, I think on, yesterday was Saturday. The father's birthday was on Friday. He turned 72. And I said, did he struggle? He said, no. He said, he will talk, he will sleep, he will talk. And at the point in time, he wasn't talking again. He said, my father has never been afraid of death. A few weeks ago, the father called him and said, when I die, this is where you bury me. He even wrote his own biography himself. And said, when I die, read this out. This is what you guys are going to read. And the church where he was serving, he went to the people in charge, because he's a godly man, and handed everything to them. He told the wife, he said, I'm doing this with this person, but I want the person, when he comes, hand this over to the person. Amen. Even when pastor came there, he lifted his eyes and saw pastor. He said, ah, pastor, anything they call you, you will come. He said, pastor, I've never seen my dad lying down, somebody having to carry him. He said, but he was looking so at peace with himself. He said, you know my greatest joy? I said, what? He said, wherever he is, he's happy. That is how your life should be. Living with certainty. And as people gathered yesterday, I almost got emotional because there were testimonies to his life. They just barely died. Some were crying, some were saying, we knew, he knew. Listen, if you read your Bible very well, there's a right way to die and a wrong way to die. You don't have to torment everybody before you leave. That sounds funny, but you know, some people, they will take them to this hospital, take them from that hospital to this hospital, there will be no solution, they will be fighting. No. You need to have understanding. He was telling me, he said, look, my father said that he doesn't like that thing where people want to die. Instead of just dying, they suffer people. He was not afraid in death. A man that does not have fear in death must have hope. Because if you don't have hope, your greatest fear is what? Will be death. For those of us who are believers, fear, death is not a threat. In Christ Jesus, we don't even die. The Bible says we sleep. Look at the patriarchs. Abraham, the Bible says they gathered themselves. So if Jesus tarries and he doesn't come, we will all sleep one day. But it doesn't have to be in fear. Say amen.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. 22. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Amen. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. 23. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Now go back to verse 21. Let's read the Message translation. I love Paul. Can I speak to you? I don't fear death. No. Alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I'm his bounty. That means if you die, Christ has gained something. If you are alive, you are his messenger. Life versus even more life. I can't lose. So death is not what? A loss. It is life versus... I'm enjoying myself. Am I talking to someone? I cross into the other side, more life. I can't lose. Verse 22 says, as long as I'm alive in this body, there is good work for me to do. If I had to choose right now, I hardly know which I'd choose. Hard choice. The desire to break camp here and be with Christ is powerful. Some days I can't think of nothing better. Imagine Paul saying some days when I think, I say, Christ, I want to see your face. He said, but most days, because of what you are going through, I am sure that it's better for me to stick it out here. Look at the next verse. So I plan to be around a while. Kai. Did you hear how he spoke? He didn't say, you know, death can come anytime, take you anytime. Nothing. No, Paul said, I'm thinking about it. Sometimes I want to go. Sometimes I have to stay here. You should have a reason to want to stay. Like some of you say, Kai, if I'm here, I'll be able to put this company in good shape, bless more people, transform more lives before I go. So Paul said, I plan to be around for a while. Companion to you as your growth and joy in this life of trusting God continues. Next verse. You can start looking forward to a great reunion when I come visit you again. We'll be praising Christ, enjoying each other. See, you should not be so tormented about the afterlife that you are not living this life. So what is rapture? It's the taking away of the church. Are you with me? It's the taking away of the church in fulfillment of everything that God have said. So this morning I want to share three things with you about rapture. Before we close. Amen. Is somebody alive here? Now the first thing I want to let you know about rapture is that it is a sure event. If you like, debate it. It doesn't change anything. It is a sure event that's going to take place. You know, some people say there's nothing like rapture. So that's your own take. Some people say, I don't believe in it. Then what? Amen. Some will say it has already taken place. Okay. Others say God has changed his mind. All right. Listen to me. Amen. It's an event that will surely take place. Put that at the back of your mind. Tell your neighbor, there is rapture. I was talking to a pastor's wife, a few days ago, and she said, I was just sharing with some people about rapture, how it will look like, what it's like. And some of the ladies there said, please, ma, may I just marry before you start talking about rapture? Especially for those of you whose weddings are coming up. Amen. And let's get done with all this marriage and so I can have a big reunion in the presence of God. I think that's what you want. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not your opinion that determines whether it will happen or not. It is established by God. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 12. Let me show you something. Luke chapter 12. Verse 35. Let's see how Jesus spoke to his disciples. He spoke of rapture. You know, Jesus had just powerfully taught about stewardship. And how not to put your trust in things and put your trust in life is not just about things. That's what Luke 12 is about. Not to worry. You know, Jesus gave a stern warning not to worry. But some of us are champion warriors. There is a quote that says, why worry when you can pray? But the way most Christians live is, why pray when you can worry? But Jesus said, don't worry. Worry is the fear of tomorrow. And Bible says, don't be afraid of tomorrow. Come on. Don't be afraid of what you wear tomorrow, what your job is going to be like tomorrow. Don't be afraid about your family. Don't be afraid. Are you getting me? Am I going to have children? Is anybody going to marry me? Is anybody going to ask me if I marry? How is it going to look like? If I marry and have children, will they serve God? Stop worrying about tomorrow. The Bible says, tomorrow already has enough trouble. Don't add to it. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and every other thing will be what? Will be added unto you. Every other thing. Praise God. I saw a powerful car the other day. I don't want to call the make. And someone said, wow, this car is fine. I said, those are the things he had. Those are the things he had. He didn't say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and every other thing will be taken away from you. He says, they will be added unto you. Let him do the adding. You do the seeking. So in verse 25, after teaching this in verse 35, go to verse 35, Luke 12, 35. Look at what Jesus said right after this. That means there is a connection between the teaching of stewardship and worship and the rapture. He says, let your waist be guarded and your lamps what? Burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may be open to him immediately. Next verse. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will guard himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Continue to verse 40. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Verse 39. But know this, that master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched out and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Tell your neighbor, be ready. See, you can't take a break from Christianity. That's what he's saying. The life that God has called you to is not what you take a break from. Live the life. You know, some Christians say, I've served God, I've tried. May I rest more? You can't rest more. Always be ready. Every day be expectant. Every day be expectant. Ever since armed robbers broke into my house twice, I have not played with the issue of security. In fact, I've raised the bar. And I pay for security. But since the armed robber came and shot me, no thief has come. Does that mean the security man should leave? I am paying him to keep watch. I'm paying him to keep watch. To keep what? The thief, for sure, will, because as anyone that comes to my house next, he will be raptured. The next one will be raptured. Either he will be raptured, or I will rapture him. Amen. Somebody is going to be raptured. But what am I paying the security man for? To watch. His work is to be vigilant. Not to track the day that the thief will come. Your work as a believer is not to be going around and looking at prophetic signs, looking at signs of the end times. You know, there's a lot of eschatology in church. 666. Somebody wears a tattoo, you say, Antichrist. That's not your work. It's not to look out for when the thief will come. Your work is to be prepared. That's why I don't bother myself about some of these prophetic teachings about the end times. You know why? They vary. One day I listen to one teaching. See, the world is ending. I'm not denying that. But that's not my work to study. My work is to be prepared. Anytime he comes, I'm ready to go. So your life should be such that if he comes now, I'm going to go. Amen. So while you are here, be useful. Tell anybody, be useful. You know, there's a misconception about rapture that some people have. They are so conscious of rapture, they can't even plaster their houses. I know a ministry like that. They say, Jesus is coming soon, Maranatha. They can't even drive good cars. Some are just sitting down and waiting. He didn't say you should sit and wait. He said you should occupy till he comes. Tell anybody to occupy till he comes. Luke 19:13. So rapture is not an excuse to be useless. Right? Rapture is not an excuse to be lazy. Rapture is not an excuse to be unproductive. You say, why are you not cutting your hair? Ah, any moment now. Amen. Why are you not applying for a job? You didn't hear the message today. Any moment. We should be prepared. Luke 19:13. Jesus telling the parable said concerning the man. He said, so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them how many? 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. Old King James says, occupy till I come. Tell anybody, occupy. Till I come. So be occupied. Be engaged. Be productive. Are you with me? Face your work. He knows when he will come. And can I speak to someone? Jesus, rapture is not a plan to take us unawares. It's a plan to save us. Glory to God. You know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's go there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Tell me about occupy. Occupy media, occupy sports, occupy fashion. Occupy till he comes. It's not our prayer that brings Jesus. So we don't have prayer meetings to say, Jesus, come quickly. When it's time to come, he will come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, verse 3, give me the NIV. A lot of times I hear people say things, and I want to correct it here. They say, how come there are so many churches yet so much evil? Listen, the church is what is preserving rottenness, decay from expressing itself in a full scale. You didn't hear me. A church with bad people is better than no church. I'm not saying a church will have bad people, but there are bad people in church. People who steal. Look, some of you are still here. You do things now. So I say, like what? You know those things. Amen. So we are praying for you. But you are safe here. That's what we are assuring you. You are still safe in this house. There are still people in church who steal money. Someone say, Ephesians 4 tells us, Paul wrote a letter to the church and said, let him that stole steal no more. That means they were stealing in the church in Ephesus. There are some that lie here. Did this happen? No, sorry, I meant, what was the question again? That means, but hear me. Without the church, this world will be a horrible place to live. No, you didn't hear me. Life will be a horrible place to stay without Christ. See, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. Have you seen the kind of rebellion we have today in our world? I mean, if you agree with me, people talk about governments anyhow. I was watching on television yesterday. In one country, there are two governments, multiple governments. Everybody wants to be their own chief. Rebellion in the highest order. And it's been institutionalized. You can't even correct children these days. You know, I wonder when that started. When children tell parents now, whatever. Whatever. Some of you really know you can't try that. I protect my children from what they watch. You know, when you watch on TV and the child tells the father, whatever, they should put a sign there. Don't try this at home. Especially when you are viewing it in Africa. Because if you say whatever, whatever will happen to you. No, but I want you to understand something. It's actually institutionalized. What they're doing is to condition it. You know why? Whether you believe it or not, there is a man of sin, a man of lawlessness. Do you know everything that has brought order to humanity is what they won't try to legislate now? Look at the legislative systems around the world. I don't have a problem with gay people. I only have a problem with being gay. I believe God loves gay people. But it's lawlessness. When a man, one of the presidents in Europe, is openly gay. He's traveling with his wife to come and visit someone. Lawlessness. I know people are getting bolder. So, for your information, we live in a sick system where what is right is actually what is now painted as what? Wrong. You see, they want to legalize abortion because that thing is not yet a life. That thing, that piece of discomfort, you can remove it. You don't know that you were once that thing. A lady that was aborted, attempted to abort at 6 months in a clinic. They had evacuated her, Kai God. They threw her out. And then the lady, the nurse, was just the Christian. The doctor just said, clean the place up. And while she was cleaning the place up, she saw that thing moving. And her conscience would not allow her to hit it. So she had to sneak it out of that theater and run with it somewhere. Clean the place and run with it somewhere and hit the baby. Waiting for when the baby will die, the fetus. And the fetus didn't die. It's one of the biggest miracles I've seen. The fetus didn't die. That fetus is a 24-year-old woman today with two children, and I was watching her on television. And you call it that thing? That's the kind of system we're living in. A woman was shown on television at the Murtala Mohammed Airport. She had recovered, I think, 6 million, 10 million, I think, three different times and returned the money. And nobody, she was not doing it for that, but nobody even appreciated. Nobody said, this is worth commending. And they put it on social media. And guess what people were saying? That God gave you opportunity 3 times to be rich, and you did not take it. I said, it would be easy for you to say that if it's not your money, you forgot somewhere. See, we are the ones preserving this world. The church is still the reason there is some form of sanity in the world. So there is a man of lawlessness, and he's beginning to manifest. Some call him Antichrist. When he comes, he's going to push lawlessness into full scale. The Bible said, the man doomed to destruction. Verse 4. Don't let him, he said he will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God and is what? Or is worshipped. So that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. That man is, his works are already around, but he's not revealed yet. You know why he's not revealed? Because you and I are here. Glory to God. But when he's going to be manifested, the world will think that they have peace when we are gone. And the Bible tells us that when he comes, he will set what I call pseudo peace. It will look like things are working. Then he will now begin to reveal himself. There are already acting movies. You can see what can happen then. Because everything you see in the world system, every technology is wired towards this one man that will eventually come. Everything is a design, is a scheme to eventually put him in position. But you know what? We don't have to be afraid. As long as we are here, he cannot manifest. And if you know anything about diplomacy and how diplomats work, when there is war in any country, the first people they do what they remove are their citizens and their what? Ambassadors. We are ambassadors here. Before the wrath of God visits this earth, glory to God, he's going to pluck the church out first. So while you are here, change your picture. Say, I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the light of the earth. I'm the reason you are all saved. Say amen.
Amen.
Rapture is sure. Number two, no believer is going to be left out. When rapture, anybody that is born again, that has received Jesus as the Lord and Savior, is not going to be left out. You don't have to tell a believer, remain rapturable. He's already rapturable. If you're born again, rapture is sure. Every child of God, dead or alive, is going to be raptured and welcome into the presence of God. Give me that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 again. And then this, we can call you with complete confidence. We have the Master's word on it. That Jesus said it to us. That when the Master comes again to get us, those of us who are still alive will not get a jump on the dead and leave them behind. That means I'm not going to match dead people and say, why did you die? No. They're going to go first. Then the next verse says, this is the part I like. The Master himself will give the command, archangel thunder, God's trumpet blast. He'll come down from heaven and the dead in Christ will rise first. They'll go first. 17 says, then the rest of us who are still alive at the time will be caught up with them into the clouds to meet the Master. Give me the next verse. And we'll be walking on air. And then there will be one huge family reunion with the Master. So reassure one another with these words. Now give me the next verse. I think that's chapter 5. I don't think, friends, that I need to deal with the question of when all this is going to happen. Keep moving. You know as well as I, that the day of the Master's coming can be posted on calendars, on our calendars. He won't call ahead and make an appointment any more than the burglar would. About that time, everybody is walking around complacently, congratulating each other. We've sure got it made. Now we can take it easy. Suddenly, everything will fall apart. It's going to come as suddenly and inescapably as what? Bedpans to a pregnant woman. Are you me? Can I ask all these women? They'll tell you. But friends, you're not in the dark. See you? You're not in the dark. Say, I'm not in the dark. He said, so how could you be taken off guard by any of this? You're not in the dark. You're in the light. So it's not going to catch you unawares. Verse 5 says, you're sons of light, daughters of day. We live under wide open skies and know where we stand. How many of you know where you stand? Not your certificate. Not your good work. Where do you stand? You stand in Christ. So if you know where you stand in Christ, rapture is sure. So let's not sleepwalk through life like those others. Let's keep our eyes open and be smart. Continue. People sleep at night and get drunk at night. But not us. Since we are creatures of day, let's act like it. Walk out into the daylight, sober, dressed up in faith, love, and the hope of salvation. Verse 9, God didn't set us, this is what I want you to see. God didn't set us up for an angry rejection, but for salvation by our Master Jesus Christ. Rapture was set for your salvation. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's for your salvation. So you can talk like Paul. You know, one of the last conversations Christians ever want to have is rapture. Have it. Talk about it. And encourage yourself. And say, Pastor Dorcas, one day, we'll be checking out. One day, Pastor Steve put a DP on his profile. And I saw men walking on there. I said, Pastor, I like this, your profile. I said, that's how it's going to happen, though. We're all just going to be what? Not gliding. Walking on air. They say, where are you going? We'll be the ones in it. Guess the report on CNN. Some people who have been delusional, lying to themselves, have suddenly been caught in their delusion. They have disappeared and convinced themselves that they've gone to be with one Jesus who is nowhere to be found. Now let's enjoy our lives. They are the ones that have troubled us the most in this life. So they will declare you missing. No, you didn't hear me. Praise the Lord. They will declare you missing. Won't you want to be missing? May that day not be the day that you are found. Are you getting me? Missing but not lost. Are you getting me? We have gone. We have gone. You see, anything that the Bible does, you can actually see a type of it in Genesis. Do you know the type of rapture in Genesis? His name is what? Enoch. So, if you look at Enoch's life, you can tell why rapture takes place and for who it takes place. It takes place for people of faith. Hebrews 11:5. Hebrews 11:5. Somebody bless this morning. Hebrews 11:5. By an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. Oh, glory to God. So how do we please God? How do we please God? By faith in what? Let me change your theology a bit. You don't please God by doing what doesn't please him. So it's not just about doing something. It's about doing what pleases him. Let me bring it up. I said, Pastor Dorcas, when you're coming to church, I want you to wear a purple shirt. Are you getting me? And green shoes. Someone say, from where did that come from? Then she comes to church dressed like this. How many of you know she has dressed well, but she has not pleased me because she has not dressed according to specification? Let me tell you how to please God. Amen. This thing on your neck, I don't know what to call it. You don't know how to call it bead or call it wrapper. Or rapper. Or what again? But it's nice. You know, I've just been looking at it. Neck piece. Okay. Amen. I know as surely as God is alive, when I wake up tomorrow, I'll see something I've not seen today. Like I saw this one. But it's nice. Make more and give me one. Now, come here. As if anybody wants to please me, are you getting me? Then anytime you are approaching me, you must wear this. But all of you feel it doesn't make sense. We don't know it. We don't know what it is. This is one of those innovations. So you choose to go and wear a suit like this man and come. Do you know? What pleases me is not on your terms. What pleases me is on my terms. So guess what? Because you have not come on the terms of what pleases me, I do what? I push you away. If you read through the Bible and you don't understand God's justice system, you'll be frustrated. That's why you wonder, how come somebody did a very bad something and he went? And somebody did a very good something and God doesn't know. It's because you don't understand God's basis for pleasing him. Amen. Remember Cain and Abel? What was their issue? God said, if anybody wants to visit me, anybody that wants to talk to me should come through blood. See the red here? A symbol of blood, not white. This darkness swallowing the black. Are you getting me? You are black in your heart, black in your shoes. You understand what I'm saying? Cain and Abel. God said, when you are coming, bring blood. Guess what Cain brought? Fruits. Big fruits. Powerful fruits. Best fruits. Abel brought blood. And God called it what? Faith. What is faith? Your ability to come to God on his terms. Now, this is how it works. So, I say, come to me. Now, I want both of you to sit down. Sit on my seat. One of you sit on my seat. Sit on my seat. You won't fall. So, I say, come to me in a way that pleases me. Are you getting me? What will you do? Yeah, go and do that. I want you to get the picture. Come to me in a way that pleases me. Carry her and hold her hand and bring her. Don't force her. Now, I want you to see. I might not like the way he's dressed. Because he doesn't want what I'm looking for. But because he came through the way I ordained, the moment the sacrifice is accepted, his person is accepted. That is how we please God. Come to me. He wants to receive something from me. Guess who he brings? This way. I mean, because all of them black. You see the situation? He's black. They're all. I am not going to be away because he's wearing black. He will be turned away because of his sacrifice. So the moment his sacrifice is rejected, it means he's been rejected. But you see, as Wifi is going, if Wifi makes a turn, changes his mind, are you getting me? And decides to go and pick the sacrifice that pleases me. Are you with me? That's how it's easy to repent. The moment I receive the sacrifice, it doesn't matter what he has done, it doesn't matter how he looks, he has what? He has pleased me. Then he now lives his whole life, not approaching me in his own ability, what he can do and how he looks, constantly approaching me through that who pleases me. And the one who pleases me is the one with this. That's how we live our lives, continually in faith. If God accepts Jesus, you are accepted. Everything about you might not be perfect, but your sacrifice is perfect. Some of you understand how Enoch pleased God now. He was a man of sacrifice, always fellowshipping with God, talking with God, and he was no more. Hebrews 10:14. See, rapture is sure for everyone who God is pleased with. And Arome is one of such people. Is there anybody here, amen, that can say, God is pleased with me? Look at what the Bible says concerning Jesus. That it was a what? Are we reading? It was a what? By a? To do what? Are they imperfect people here? But have you been perfected? By a sacrifice. Then you are pleasing to God. The Bible says, by that single offering, he did everything that needed to be done for everyone who takes part in the purifying process. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus, I'm perfect, I'm complete, I'm whole. If Jesus comes now, I'm gone. You know why? Heaven is not a reward. Heaven is your home. Is your inheritance. That brings me to the third thing before we leave this morning. There's judgment after rapture. Right? There's judgment after rapture. Every person is going to be judged. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 is a scripture that is grossly misunderstood. Let God shed some light for us. Hebrews 9:27. Everyone, if you're everyone, let me see your hand up, has to die once, then face the consequences. True or false? That's judgment. And as it is appointed for, verse 28 now, Christ's death was also a one-time effect. So who is Hebrews 9:27 talking about? Christ. His death was a one-time event, but it was also, he didn't just die. Every man dies once, then the consequences. Christ's death, are you getting me, was a one-time event, but he didn't just die. His own was a sacrifice. So we can say, amen. Christ was sacrificed once, then judgment. because his death was a sacrifice that took care of sins forever. That's a good place to lift your hands and thank God. He took care of sins for how long? And so when he next appears, the outcome for those eager to greet him is precisely what? Salvation. Now, how many of you know he's coming again? Because when he comes again, it's not so that we'll be judged for our sins. It's that he will rapture us from this world. Do you get the difference now? So let's talk about two kinds of judgment in scriptures. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. Open Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 if you have a Bible. See, come to church with your Bibles. Come to church with your Bibles. It will help you. Your own personal Bible. Not the screen. You can't carry it home after church. Ephesians 2 verse 8. Glory. Some of you are hot. I'm sure next Sunday will be better. Amen. But we all grew up here. Now, saving is all his idea and all his work. No, give me New King James now. Thank you. Thank you. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the what? The gift of God. I mean, if you remember the illustration I just showed you. You are not saved by your works. You are saved by the grace of God. You are saved by what God has done for you. Now go to Revelations chapter 2, verse 23. Revelation chapter 2, verse 23. What a way to start scripture, but you can read in context later. I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. Says, but that's the last part I want to say. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. So the question is this. We are not saved by our works, but we are rewarded according to our works. Listen to me. You are not saved because of what you do, but you will be rewarded for what you do. Don't mix it up. Write down boldly in your book, belief and what? Behavior. Do you know why most Christians miss it? They don't know the difference between belief and what? And behavior. Because of what we believe, are you getting me? Our belief determines where we spend eternity. Did you get it? The moment somebody believes, he has already made a decision as to where to spend eternity. He says, but our behavior does what? Determines how we spend eternity. Did you get that? If you got it, let me share another amen. So the moment you believe, what you believe here is going to determine where you are going to be. But how you are going to be in that place is determined by the things you do here. That's why Christians should not just go around saying that we don't walk. We walk, but we don't walk to be saved. We walk because we are saved. So, Christians do good works, but good works cannot save Christians. Don't mix it up. Some say, I don't believe in good works. You know, I don't believe in good works because we are saved through grace. Yes, we are saved through grace. But now that grace has saved us, we've been saved to do good works. Give me Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Amplified. Melvin. For we are God's own handiwork. If you are one, let me see your hand up. Remember verse 8 says, by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. Then verse 10 now says that you are God's own handiwork. His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned before and for us, taking parts which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. Living the good life which he already prearranged and made ready for us to live. Tell your neighbor, you have been called to do good works. Oh, say to another neighbor, you were saved to do good works. So there is a work for you to do. Now that you are saved, you can't keep treating people badly and think it will not affect how you live in eternity. You can't keep living anyhow as a Christian. You know, some people say we are saved. Yes, your belief determines where you will spend eternity. But your behavior, how you act, how you comport yourself, and the things you do here will determine how you live in eternity. So, allow me to submit to you, we are not all going to be equal in heaven. That parable in Luke 19, if you read it to the end, the faithful stewards were given authority over what? Kingdoms and cities. Hear me. Don't get me wrong. That's not what we are teaching today. Another day we'll teach it. Heaven is just like earth. Don't make a mistake. When we go to heaven, some of you think in heaven we are going to wear white robes and just be walking around, gliding and singing hymns. In sorrow is my comfort. No. Blessed assure. That's not how heaven is. Heaven is a real place with offices, institutions, things to do. Guess what? The positions we get there are not going to be determined by degrees. How you are going to live life in eternity, the place you are going to stay in eternity, the place you are going to be based in eternity is based on your works here. So don't think you can live life anyhow, show in heaven and expect that two of us are going to get the same reward. That will be denying the justice of God. So there are two judgment seats spoken of in the Bible. Quickly, let's go through them. The first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Oh. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another does what? Builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. You know what the argument here? Some people say, me, I belong to the Paul movement. Others say, I belong to the... Like some say today, I belong to the Smith Wigglesworth. Others say, I belong to John G. Lake. Others say, I belong... Paul said, the main thing, it doesn't matter which movement you belong to, there is a foundation. That foundation is that we are saved in Christ Jesus. Regardless of our differences. He says, for no other foundation can any lay than that which is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. But look at what the next verse says. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation of Jesus with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, then look at the next, hay and straw. Notice, there are two categories of things used to build there. Either you build with gold, silver, and precious stones, or you are building with wood, hay, and straw. That means it's possible to be born again and building the wrong thing. Using the wrong materials to build. What is the difference in both? One, gold, silver, and precious stones have eternal value. They keep appreciating. One of the best ways to save your money is to invest in gold and precious stones. True of us. The price will never drop. Do you hear that weather affects gold? If weather affects it, it's not real. But weather affects wood. Hands. So you know the two things there spoken of. Some are building for eternity, others are building for the now. What do you do with your life? Are you building with eternity in view? Or are you just building with what you can eat now? Some Christians, their works will not go past earth. It will end here. Look at the next verse, verse 13. Verse 13 says, each one's work will become clear for the day of judgment. When is that day? After death. We'll declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Listen, let me give you an idea. Praise the Lord. This is what the Bible calls the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ does not have unbelievers. The judgment seat of Christ only has believers. Every believer is going to face Christ as a steward. When you come before Christ, glory to God. Can I give you an idea? Are you with me? Come. They will call your name. when they call your name, oh, I'm rushing now. When they call her name and she comes, they will give her profile. Her profile, amen. Of her fairness, her voice, her positions. And in her lifetime, she had this money and had that. Everything you have is a trust. Then God will say, pass all that through what? Through fire. Let's know what she did with it. That is what is going to determine where she, how she will spend eternity. Because this judgment is already in eternity. She's already in heaven. But where in heaven she's going to stay is going to be determined by her works. If God gives you an opportunity to be the DG, finances, and you are stealing money, you are building on what? On hay and stones. You know what the Bible says in verse 14? The Bible says in verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. That means some people are going to enter heaven, but none of their works will show in eternity. Listen, someone who faithfully gives his tithe, goes out for evangelism, reaches out for souls, are you getting me? Will not get the same reward as someone who doesn't do those things. Because the things that have eternal value are souls. So the question that will be asked you is that the sum total of everything you are doing, if it's on your children, say, Father, thank you because of the shed blood of Jesus. After I attended Covenant Well Seminar and I came out, dear Lord, I was able to fly my children to Europe and everywhere. Good. But if everything you did with what God gave you was to eat in nice restaurants, not one single person got saved. Not one value was added to heaven. You know what you are building with? You are building with hay, with straws. When they pass it through fire, everything will be what? Will be burned. We don't carry earthly things to eternity. Your cars don't mean anything in eternity. It's how those cars affect souls that speaks. What, your resources mean nothing in eternity. See, what are you going to take to heaven? Is it your gold earring? When the streets there are paved with gold, the trophies of heaven are souls. That's why every believer must live his life doing something that heaven recognizes. Time will not allow me. And you must do it with the right heart. Because it's possible to do the right thing and lose a reward. Bless God for those of you with orphanages who reach out. There's a sister I know. For years, every birthday of hers, are you getting me? She's a sister of means. Every birthday, she's at the orphanage. She's born again like you. Every birthday, she's there. She said, I want to do something for these people. Let me ask you a question. What do you do for people apart from you? You know, there are too many self-centered Christians. It's always about you. What about heaven? Heaven is already your home. What is your effort in helping others enter? I know when we had ABC, some of you were so, wow, this man is clean. I love this man. Listen to me. You need to go backstage and see what that man is doing in the lives of people. His shoes and suits have nothing, is very little compared to the lives that he's affecting. That's why when he said that during ABC, I had a good laugh. He said, I've been helping people now. Let me just buy myself a car. We're not saying you don't do anything for yourself. But if you have eternity in view, all this business you are doing here, attending prayer, night vigil, are you getting me? So that God will prosper you. What does it amount to after all is said and done? That's the reality of rapture. Do you know it's in rapture that all of us will begin to discover what every person was doing? It's heaven that will reveal it. I told my wife recently, I said, if there is anything I want to keep in perspective in my life, is to be sure that when I'm entering heaven, they will say, Arome, thou good and faithful servant, welcome into the joy of your Lord. That is the greatest trophy to me. Not all this making top list of first 20 pastors in Abuja. To be honest, I don't want to be in your list and miss out on heaven's award. I want to enter heaven, beating my hand on my chest. Someone says that's pride. That's not pride, though. It just means I did well. You confess and say you are proud. What is proud? When you were reading, others were sleeping. Are you getting me?
You came first and say you are proud. You say, ah, look at my results. First result, I say you are proud because you came first. What is pride? No. I have been saved to do my good works. And I'm not going to play around with my good works. We are not Christians so that we can make heaven. Heaven is not our reward. Heaven is our home. But heaven is a place of reward. A university is not a degree. But it's a degree awarding institution. It's not everybody in the university that has a degree. Ask the cleaners. Some have been there for 20 years. You are a lecturer now. Amen. Haven't been people there since they started that university? Have you people said, okay, because you have been here long enough, take this. Let's just give him a degree. They don't just give you a degree. Except his honorary doctorate degree. What are you doing with your time? He's going to ask you, what did you do with your time? You know, church. Father, it was a very tough task. I told Pastor Arome, I wish he could change it from Saturday and put it maybe there about Wednesday, Thursday. But the church will not hear something every time Saturday. You know how my work is, God. You know, by the time you go to the office, you know, on Saturday, man, they don't even give me a break. God, you understand that? You're the one that gave me the job. You know how it works. That's how some of you will be talking. What do you do with your money? You know, I had a problem with a particular way that tithe and offering was taught. And you know, when I read what Daddy Free said on Instagram, I got some sense into it. Okay, that position you got, that political appointment, what did you do with it? And the appointment. Hi, God. Nigerian politics is different from USO. You know, that's how some people be talking to God. Nothing to show in eternity. You were there, you couldn't even, you were a senator for 24 years. You didn't even push one law that favored the cause of the gospel. You don't know that you were placed there for such a time as this. You worked in that office. There's nothing to show for it apart from your big shoes and powerful suits. Say, Lord, while I was there, my life changed. Look at my wardrobe now. Are you getting me? You don't take those things to heaven. Oh, yeah, sister, I say, Kai, I finally was able to touch some of those. Father, you need to see my foundation. Or you start telling God, you know, the things I have plenty of children. You know, children, Lord, if I was living in Boko, I would have been able to do more for the gospel. But in Abuja, children's school fees. Ah, God, you know how it works now. Even rent. If it's not you that was helping me, you know they would have pushed me out. If I don't, see, project eternity. If you stand before God, if that's all you get to say, your works will be burnt by fire. Christ is already the foundation. So every believer here is going to be judged. And we're not going to stand as a church. When they call your name and say, CFC, let's go together. Nobody goes together. Every man will give an account. And guess the beautiful thing about heaven? God will be the one shaking us personally. That's why Paul said, look, I want to see his face. Are you getting me? I want to stand before him. See, don't live your lives like unbelievers. That's why anytime you read all those books on success, are you with me? You must be able to merge it into your plan. Not swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. Are you getting me? Your path is different. So it's not everything I read in a success, all these motivational books, I just pick everything, I swallow it. I say, no. I keep eternity in view. I'm going to die someday. I'm going to stand before God someday. And he will ask me, what did you do with CFC? Pastor Roman, you know, you try. You will go on Wednesday, you'll come back. You think it's you that is judging me? You know I'm on the road like that? Eh? There's somebody I'm going to answer someday. And what I want to tell you is that I did my best. One day, I was leaving and my wife said, are you going? My heart sank. I told Wifi, start the car. If you look at a woman's face, you'll not do God's work. Amen. Even Jesus said, I must do the work of him who called me while it is day. For the night comes when I can't walk again. That means there is a time you are able to walk. A time will come, all work will cease. Judgment will begin. So I said, you know, me, I can't. Oh, I can't. You know, your wife saying, you say, no. You can't? I can. I can do anything for God. Take Isaac, your only son, your son whom you love, go to Mount Moriah and offer him up for me as a burnt offering. Abraham said, Isaac, here we go. God said, Abraham, Do not touch the boy. Now I know that you fear me. You must prove to God through your action. Are you getting me? What you believe. You cannot serve God in convenience.
So if you are a Christian here, trumpet will blast. Oh. After the reunion, they'll say, hey, all of you, come into the hall. After dancing, say, come into the hall. See, as I'm saying it now, it looks like a joke. That's how it will happen like a movie. You say, pastor was preaching this thing one day. I was even feeling sleepy. Wake up and hear what he said. Do something that adds value to souls. God took an innocent girl who is an orphan and kept that girl in your house. It's an opportunity to raise a world leader. You start slapping her, abusing her, talking to her anyhow, because we are helping you. Idiot, move here, bring that in. Don't worry. Her story will be told in eternity. And God will ask some of you, I brought this person into your life. What did you do? He said, and she was too stubborn. Then God will show you how you were like a goat too. Are you getting me? A scapegoat, headed in the wrong direction until his love reached out. Are you getting me? Held you and brought you back. In our house, I have trained people through university, some of our pastors. And I'm talking about, I pay fees like a father. University, children's fees. It's the heart you have to serve that determines the resources that come to you. If God can trust you, he'll get it through you. I told my wife, you never know who you are touching. You never know who you are reaching. If all you do in your life is you and your family, you are a miserable man. That cannot be all. Then life is not worth living. Are you getting me? See, I'm not saying forget about it. You know, some people have extremes. They'll be doing everything for everybody except their family. God will judge you too. Amen. You know, those are two extremes. God will judge you too. Thank you, Lord. Well, the second judgment seat, should we talk about it? But that one, no concern us. And the unbelievers fooled here. Are you getting me? Revelation 20:11, as we close. So do what you do from a pure heart. Not so that, say, I was in that church, I was laboring, but nobody was acknowledging me. Are you here for acknowledgement? I gave offering. Pastor could not even call me to pray for me. You know, the first 1 million naira in that church, Lord, it was me. You see, you have done a good thing, but with a wrong heart. Has God ever bragged for you? If you truly pray in the morning, do you hear God saying, don't joke with me, I gave you my son. If you try me, I will teach you something. No. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. Let's read message. And then I saw a great white throne, and one enthroned. Nothing could stand before or against the presence. Nothing in heaven, nothing on earth. Look at the next verse. And I saw all the dead. This is not talking about believers. Great and small, standing there before the throne. And books were open, underlying books. Books were open. Then another book was open. The book of life. Notice there's a difference between books and what? The book. The book is the book of life. Now notice, the dead were judged by what was written in the books, by the way they had lived. This is talking about unbelievers. They are the dead. Let me tell you what happens. Every time a child is born, are you getting me? Your name is put in the book. When you reject Christ, your name is removed from the book. Don't get it wrong. It's not when you accept Christ that your name is put in the book. When you reject Christ, your name is removed from the book. You know why? It's the book of the living. When you reject Christ and you die, your name is now removed from where? That book. That's why if you read Revelation, when they start searching the book, they don't find your name. It has been what? Removed. Then there are other books about your life. Verse 13. See, released is its dead. Death and hell turned in their dead. All those ones that die inside air die on the ground. You get me? They say collect. Each man and woman was judged by the way he or she had lived. So I said, why are you reading this scripture? And I'm young. That's why I should hear it now. Amen. The Bible said, then death and hell were hauled into what? Lake of fire. This is the second death. What? Lake fire.
You know the thing about the lake of fire? It's an ever-growing lake. It has an appetite. This is what the Bible calls second death. There are three kinds of death in the Bible. First is spiritual death, to be separated from God. Second is physical death, to be separated from your physical body. Third is eternal death, to be forever separated from God. And it doesn't end with the lake of fire. After the millennial reign, they are going to gather all of them and throw them into the bottomless pit. Now let me tell you what describes hell. It's a pit that does not have an end and is dark. Two things that form realities in human beings is what? One, light. The second thing is what? Balance. That's why the moment you can't feel yourself and you start floating, it's not safe. It means you're already leaving this world. It's balance that makes us, without balance, are you getting me? Without some form of pull, I can't touch you. It's not safe to be floating. Amen. Amen. Then, without light, we will not understand. So let me tell you how the bottomless pit is. Hell is not a place somebody should go to. It's a place where you are descending, never touching bottom. The darkness is so thick, you can't see the next person. So you are in a space. Those people who think they play music in heaven, in hell, there's no music in hell. You are in a place, you are like in a vacuum, all by yourself, never touching the earth, never touching the bottom. You are just suspended in a mass of darkness, fire burning all over. And for your information, unbelievers are not just going to be in hell. The degree of their experience in hell is based on their works here on earth. Well, you are not an unbeliever, Abi. And so that shouldn't bother you. So I laugh when someone says, when we get to heaven, are you getting me? When we get to hell, we are going to have Jay-Z there. How do you relate with someone you can't see and you can't feel? You are just alone. You are just alone. You are always feeling like a free fall. Guess what? Never touching there. You can't feel anything. You can't hear anything. You can't see anything. It's a void. I don't know about you. Heaven is a place to be, man. Real place. And be in the right place. I don't want CFC members in heaven. Then some of you, are you getting me? You are working as secretaries while others are doing. Man, tell the truth. And it's based on what he has asked you to do. Let's stand up. Don't give men excuse. You know, you can give a man an excuse. The man will say, no problem. Don't say, why did he? You were not in a service team in that church. I don't like the way they do their something. No problem. See, do something that affects life. Everything given to you is a trust. Pastor Joe was asking me recently, he said, Pastor, you mean all these things came from your farm? I said, yes. Amen. You know what I did last year, December? I identified specific families with needs. And I saw some orphans. And my heart was drawn to them. They were not necessarily church members. And we packaged food and money in packs, are you with me? And sent to them. You know, every Christmas people come to sow seed to me. Pastor Rome, thank you for being a blessing. So sometimes you come to my house, you think it's a supermarket. Am I going to eat all that rice? Eat all those goats? Even though I like goats. Let me ask you, what are you doing with everything? What are you doing with everything? Your wardrobe is full, you can't lock it. And we know that next week you are still going to buy. Because you have been called to the ministry of buying. Are you getting me? You will still buy. Except they don't show you. If they show you, we buy. You buy something too big for you, you slim it. You must not slim it. Give it to someone else. You wear something, they say it's too small. It's too small. You are saying, does it have allowance? Expand it. Expand it. Then you are coming, you know, you're walking like this. Everybody knows that it's not your size. Are you? But you will not agree. You will not agree. You must wear it. What kind of life? No, it's funny, but why are you thinking like that? You have a 10-bedroom house. Are you with me? Someone cannot even sleep in a BQ. What are you doing with all these rooms? That's why we have poor leaders. You know, a hungry man, when he sees food, he will gather as much as he can. Because he's not sure of tomorrow. I remember I invited a hungry child to your house to eat. You will pity them. One boy came to the house once. We were giving him food. He was just eating everything. He said, calm down. Calm down. You'll be eating from here. Eating from here. Eating from here. Different. He said, calm down. I was telling my wife, I said, yeah, I understand. It will take time. After a while, he just discovered that if he eats today, there will still be some tomorrow. That's how some of these are leaders are. No, he come from a poverty background. When you enter office, you say, hey, 4 billion. You're packing the money. You are dying. May not be said that you left church, you leave. Lift your hands up to heaven. This is not a shouting message. This is a sovereign message. Begin to give. Put eternity in view. Librata sovregalaba. What do you do with your time? What do you do with your life? What did you do? Either you want to face the great white throne judgment where unsaved people are, or you want to stand before Jesus and speak of his love and what you did with his resources. If this morning you are not sure where you will stand, I want to give you an opportunity. You might say, I believe in Jesus, but the question is that, do you believe him in your heart? With our eyes closed, as we make this prayer, you can put your hand on your chest and make it from your heart, and you will find peace for your soul. Say, Lord Jesus. Let's say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and you were raised for my justification. Today, I welcome you into my heart. I make you my Lord and my Savior.
Thank you for listening. Messages are absolutely free. For downloads, please visit us at www.christfamilyministries.org. That's www.christfamilyministries.org, or call 090-300-00413 for info on ministry materials. It's one gospel, one faith, reaching one person at a time, and together we're filling the earth with the beautiful message of our Lord Jesus Christ, presenting every man mature in him.